In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's the fourth week in Epiphany. Our texts are Jonah and the whale, and Jesus in a similar situation with his disciples there in the Sea of Galilee. In the Sea of Galilee, it's kind of in a valley, and the wind can really get whipped up through there, through the Jordan River, and really turn up that stream, or the Sea of Galilee in a moment's notice. So that's what happens here. We'll hear more about that in our sermon. I know the kids, they have megaphones today, and so I'll let them use them for the memory verse, which they should know, and maybe for the sermon hymn, because it's going to be fine, I think. So if you got your megaphone, you can use them for the memory verse in between the readings and for the sermon hymn. All right. We'll begin with our opening hymn then. Baptismal waters cover me. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I,
a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God of everything, God of Father almighty, O Lord,
the only begotten Son,
Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us, that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "Yahweh, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ will speak about this account and say, the Son of Man will also be in the ground, in the belly of the earth, for 3 days and 3 nights. And so he was. Children may put their megaphones to their mouths, and we will say our memory verse for this week. "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." Luke 7:27. Our epistle is from Romans chapter 13. St. Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, for we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds,
God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven,
and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary,
and was made man,
and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures,
and ascended into heaven,
and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end.
And I believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and Son,
who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified,
who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins,
and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our sermon hymn 715. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Picking up where we left off with last week's sermon, we're looking at the prayers for caregivers, and particularly this one thing that we tend to overlook when caregiving, and that is taking care of yourself. In this prayer we pray, cause the caregiver to find time to care for themselves so that they may continue to serve with a joyful heart. Now, caring for yourself is somewhat strange to a Christian mind, We're not supposed to do anything for ourselves. We're supposed to totally be devoted to serving God and neighbor, right? True. But caring for yourself with the purpose of restoring your body and your mentality so that you can love and serve your neighbor with a joyful heart, this is good. It is not selfish. Not selfish because we can't call Jesus selfish. There are many instances where Jesus did take care of himself and permitted himself to be served by others, right? Immediately after his temptation in the wilderness, Jesus was ministered to by angels. But even before that, as an infant, a baby in the womb, he received nourishment from his mother's body. Even after his birth, Mary nursed him at her breast. The wise men came and gave their gifts to the infant child, which funded his family's flight into Egypt for a few years. And you've got John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, right? It's serving him. Then there's Simon Peter's mother-in-law in Capernaum. After Jesus lifted her fever, immediately she got up and started waiting on him. How about Mary and Martha, his beloved friends, who served him food and drink? Towards the end of Christ's ministry, there's that woman who came and cried at Jesus' feet and wiped her hair, her hair on his feet and anointed his head with expensive oil. Or how about here in our text for today? Jesus sleeps, right? His body gets tired. He spends all day preaching, teaching, healing people, giving them food and drink, and he gets tired. His human nature gets tired. Jesus sweats, he hungers, he gets thirsty, he bleeds. He is in every way like you and me, except without sin. And then there are a few other times when Jesus just kind of goes off by himself just to get some air and be restored and to pray. Can you imagine all the people just pushing in against you all day, every day? Well, sometimes he needed to just be by himself, right? He goes to be with his Father in isolation in a sense, but with his Father, and is ministered to by angels, and so on and so forth. Jesus is not selfish. He does all these things and permits himself to be served just as we are served by one another and by God himself. And Jesus does all of this so that he might ultimately serve us. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20. And this life, which is yours in Christ Jesus, part of this life is caring for yourself so that you can serve your neighbor with a joyful heart. So as you are caring for others, make sure you're being tended to by our Lord and God, who does not want you to cut yourself off from all the help and encouragement and love he desires to give you, to refresh and to restore you. If you're going through a hard time, share your burden with a trusted Christian. Let them hear. Let them help you. Let them bear it with you. You know, in one place in the scripture it says, we each must bear our own cross. It's true. Pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. And yet elsewhere it is also written, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. This is also true. So help each other out. Permit yourself to be helped. It is what our Lord wills for you. Come here every week as you do. Jesus wants to refresh and restore you here with his people. You got things on your chest that you just need to get off, right? Talk to him or whomever you need. Have a real face-to-face discussion. And don't bottle things up, right? You bottle them up, you add more and more and more, and you all know what happens, right? It explodes, right? In a very ungodly way, in a moment that doesn't call for it, right? Ugh, icky stuff. And you can come talk with me too. I'm here for you. I've got office hours. They're listed there on the front of the bulletin. You've got sins, you've got grievances, you've got a heavy weight that you're bearing alone or maybe with a few others. Come to Jesus and to the Christians and the pastor he has put in your life. Jesus has come to take this heavy weight from you, at times to bear it for you, and at times to bear it with you. Recognize the help that God has put in your life. He's given you a whole family of faithful believers who, according to his word, are here for you. Now, we're all sinners in this room, and we don't do this perfectly. But by God's grace, we make it our aim to serve one another according to his word, which requires us really, truly to be in his word. Not just hypothetically, but truly studying it, eating and drinking these scriptures, being daily refreshed by them. Right? You can't give someone something to drink if you have nothing to give. Right? You can't help them if you're not helped first. We've got to be really, truly in his word. Not hardening our hearts to these scriptures, but opening up our ears and diving right into them. Not counting them as something that's only valuable for me 1 hour on a Sunday, but truly treasuring them as nourishment for my whole life, for every hour and every day of my life, for everything that I do. God is here for you. He wants to be here for you, to guide you, so that as you must bear your cross, you may know and have the consolation of his love and not feel so abandoned and alone. Because you are not alone. God loves you, and he's given his all and everything to serve you. So be like Jesus, right? Because by God's grace, you are. God has called you to be so blessed. He has anointed and appointed you and washed you to be his own. You have been set free not to serve yourselves, but to take care of yourselves and receive his help and be ministered to, so that as you care for one another, you may serve with a joyful heart. Now for the second and shorter part of this sermon, I really want to look at this gospel text a little bit more. We find Jesus asleep, and his disciples are getting caught up in a storm. And they're like, where's Jesus? He's sleeping? Don't you care? I mean, how many times in your life do you feel this way? Lord, where are you? Don't you care? Don't you see that I'm suffering? Where are you? Maybe that thought isn't so out loud and apparent, but the feeling sure is. Feeling lost, abandoned, like Jesus is sleeping or something. Fascinatingly, this week, after reading this verse, I found a commentator who wrote, Jesus is asleep according to his divine, or according to his human nature. We've already talked about that. But according to his divine nature, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Psalm 121. So even as Jesus sleeps, he's also awake. And I'm not talking about sleepwalking, right? Jesus is, according to his human nature, asleep, but always awake in his divine, keeping all things, watching over all things with the Father and the Holy Spirit, watching over you and dwelling within you. Therefore, you don't need to rouse God like the prophets of Baal in Elijah's day. You don't need to do a certain ritual or perform a silly dance or scream from the top of your lungs or cut yourself to get God's attention. God hears you. He knows you. And even before you speak, he knows what's in your heart. Matthew chapter 6. He knows it. God loves you and loves you with a love beyond all human understanding. Now, those aren't just nice, hope-filled words. God, I hope that's true, that he really loves me like that. No, these are true words. Behold, God himself has drawn you here today. What are you talking about, Pastor? I got in my car. I decided to come. I came here. From your perspective, maybe, but from God's, and which is the truth, he himself has drawn you here. That's how much he loves you. He draws you to his son. He draws you to Jesus, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. He brings you to that one who has been with you this week and has watched over you. And he brings you here so that you can find rest for your souls. John 12, Matthew 11. So come like the beloved disciple in John 12. Come lean in here and rest your head upon Jesus' bosom. Hear his beating heart. And I don't mean that in just a spiritual sense. Put your ear to his word. Hear the heart of him whose blood was poured out for you and be restored. If you're confused by what you see or hear in the scriptures, come and talk with me, right? That's what I'm here for. I don't know it all. I've never claimed to. But I've committed my life to learning and studying it alongside you, so that as Jesus draws you to himself, I may always have something more to give to you. Come to Bible study before service, right? So we can dig in together and draw up fresh strength and courage from the Lord. If you're feeling kind of strung out, maybe by your job, right? Just kind of strung out, burned out at the end of the rope, right? Well, join the crowd. We don't have it all together in there, right? Marty's shaking her head like, I don't. Right? I'm just kidding, Marty. She didn't do that. So come and read and learn God's word with us. It's a really good time in there. We joke and we laugh like I just did. We talk about serious things, though, too. And we counsel and console one another. And we sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27. And then after the study, we come here to the gathering of all God's saints to sing doctrinally pure hymns, right? True statements put to song. Hymns that don't strive to manipulate your emotions, right? That's very common in Christendom. Not here. We don't manipulate your emotions. We sing the truth. We put the truth before us. We sing pure words. That by the word you may be lifted up and not by a nice melody. And while here, behold the word of God, incarnate, as we gather in his name. He puts the turbulent winds of this world, both literally and figuratively, at ease. He is our anchor in this storm of life, our pilot who never sleeps, who beckons us to come and rest our heads upon him. And so do we come to the rail this day, to Jesus, who gives us flesh and blood rest and consolation and purpose in our callings. Though we struggle all night through the storm, he is with us and watches over us. And now this hour assures us of his love, that by faith we may overcome all the turbulent winds and crushing waves and enter with all the saints unto life eternal. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Amen. Announcements for today. I have an old bulletin. I printed it off earlier. Does someone have a brand new one I can steal for a second? Thank you. All right. Dart ball tomorrow. Very good. Here at Hanover. That's nice. No traveling. A Candlemas service is going to be on Wednesday at St. Paul. We're all invited. It's at 6:30. You'll see the details there. It's about the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary and for the Feast of the Holy Encounter. It's a good day to be together and remember this great account of our Lord. Oh, I must not have printed the right one off. My bad. Spuds and Splits here next Sunday. It's February 6th at the church. It's a Valentine's theme. You can come here and bring your offerings, and those will go towards the Lutheran Youth Club, free will offering. That day also, we'll be meeting at St. John Storm Lake for our annual Storm Lake Circuit Bible Institute. We'll join our sisters and brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this circuit and come together and study the scriptures. We've got three presentations. I'm giving one on Jude. It's about 45 minutes apiece. It's an epistle that I am not very familiar with, so I have to do a lot of studying this week. The Epistle of Jude. And lastly, I don't know why I didn't get in here. Sorry about that, Keith. I printed it. I probably didn't put the right one in front of Deb to print off. The Voters Assembly last Sunday voted to have a committee, to form a committee for kind of the planning committee to replant some of these trees that the storm took out and that Dick Schmidt cut down, right? He just chopped them all down. I said, "You're the John the Baptist, right? The axe is laid at the root of the trees." So there's a committee being formed. If you'd like to volunteer for that, you're more than welcome to do so. Please speak with an elder or a trustee, and we'll get you on that committee. All right. With that, then, we will turn to the prayers of the church and stand to sing the offertory. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. To Christ, the greater Jonah, who was cast into the depths of our sin to bring peace, and who has arisen after 3 days, that we might find care in every trouble and not perish, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the blessed course of the gospel throughout this world, that it may refresh the saints and work faith in those who are lost in error and unbelief, and for all preachers, that God would sustain them and turn them from reluctance, bitterness, or discouragement to embrace their task and the cross it brings. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For love in our workplaces and homes, that we may be turned toward our neighbors there to love them as ourselves and do them no wrong, as the good law of God commands. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For boldness and courage, that we would not flee like Jonah whenever we are duty-bound to speak against great evil in this land of exile, but stand to confess God's goodness before a world that rejects Christ and his church. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's servants for whom we pray, especially Jean, Carrie, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, for Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl, that their faith may be increased and their fears calmed by Christ's presence and graciousness, sure promises. For without him we perish. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn the death of their loved ones, especially the bereaved of Jerry Stilley, David DeForest, and Dean Leitz, that Christ would comfort them in their sorrow, give them confidence in the resurrection, and a joyful hope in the blessed reunion of all your saints, living and departed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, in your divine wisdom and fatherly goodness, you cause your children to bear the cross and send us many afflictions, both to subdue our flesh and to enliven our hearts to faith, hope, and unceasing prayer. Have mercy on us, we implore you, and graciously deliver us from these trials and afflictions. Let us perceive your grace and fatherly help, and with all the saints, praise and worship you forever, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the
in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us.
Body of Christ.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Thou thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Light to light in the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with your Son's body and blood. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn. There's the balm in Gilead. You'll notice the note there says, in the ancient days of Israel, Gilead was famous for a balsamic resin believed to have healing properties. As it's written, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? From Jeremiah. Today it is Christ who heals through his Holy Spirit, and he is our Gilead. Amen.